Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
6:45, quarter till 7, checking in with Mike Strain, the Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike Strain?
Man, I am doing great. I'm fixing to head overseas to Ireland and a little bit of time in England on a trade mission. There are six of us, six commissioners from the United States going, and so it's a solid, you know, week-long trade mission, and which is good. We do a number of these trade missions. I was there as a guest of the British government back in November. We're going, our National Association is putting this together, so we're excited about it. And the thing about it is, it's a great way to, let's make a deal. It's all about moving Louisiana and American products abroad. So we're excited about it. We've been getting ready. And I leave tomorrow afternoon about 4 o'clock and get into Dublin about 9:30 the next morning.
Mike, when you talk about, good luck with that overnight, that red-eye flight, that, and God bless you. Tomorrow's going to be tough. Been there, done that. So let's talk about tariffs and all of that as it relates to trade deals as you try to make them. Is there an air of uncertainty or what? Tell me how that works.
Well, there is a certain degree of uncertainty, but as we finally sign these trade deals and it levels out, everyone knows what the game is. And then as you lower those tariffs, you know, and we recently signed a deal with the United Kingdom, and that opens the door and eliminates not only tariffs, but also opens the door to other American commodities. You know, around the world, there's lots of barriers put up to protect small entities in those countries, but are disadvantaged to the United States. And so there are financial and non-financial trade barriers. And one of the things we do is to work on, you know, both of those things, especially the non-financial trade barriers, or we call them trade irritants, to get those out of the way so we can move product. The thing about the United Kingdom, the bottom line, end of the day, they import 42% of their food, import into the United Kingdom, 42%. And they need rice, they need feed grains, they need all sorts of, you know, of products, and we want to be there and open up the opportunity for that. And poultry, we sell a lot of chicken to them so that we can sell it to them. Rice, soybeans, again, livestock products, cotton. And so, you know, we're really excited about that. So that's the bottom line. When these things are finally inked out, and they set it at, you know, at a 15% generally, doing that, then it opens up trade both ways.
So what are we looking to export to Ireland and the UK? Rice and feed stuff?
Yes, rice, soybeans, a lot of poultry. Also, we've opened it up now to American beef, which is a big deal, and cotton as well. And so, and when you start looking at some of those exports and looking what they need, that's what we're looking at in the United Kingdom. They also buy, you know, quite a bit of machinery and equipment, you know, from the United States, that fuel, chemicals, live animals, and so vegetable oils. And we will be meeting with their various entities there. We'll meet with the chief veterinary officers. Those are the ones that set the rules on, you know, what you have to do in order to get those animals in there. We'll be meeting with the United States ambassador. We go into a number of their facilities that we're looking what they have to offer as well. And so we're really excited about all of that.
Have you been to the Ireland before, Mike, in the UK?
I've not been to Ireland. I've spent a week on a trade mission in England itself, but not Ireland. So we're going to focus on Ireland and a very little bit of time in England this time.
Good luck getting ice in a soft drink. I don't know what the hell the deal is, but man, you all.
Well, they don't believe in ice over there. But yeah. No, maybe we could get a little bit of sugar cane, a little sugar, right, in their soft drinks.
And it's not
good idea. A little cane syrup there.
I wanted to ask you about that too. Sugar. It's not that hot there. It's not supposed to be. It was when I was there. Man, it'll get you crazy if you ask for ice in a soft drink. Tell me about cane sugar. Speaking of soft drinks, and what's going on there, and how could that benefit Louisiana?
Oh, that's going to benefit Louisiana. It already has. We've seen an uptick on the value of sugar at the farm level. You know, sugar went from about 34 and a quarter to 37 cents a pound, the raw sugar. And we're all excited about it. And the thing of it is, not only you saw Coca-Cola now is going to be selling that, you know, product here in the United States. They already sell it abroad. And that's the predominant soft drink there in Mexico. But also now you see PepsiCo is saying, look, we have real cane sugar as well. And then you have different restaurants, you know, that's saying Steak and Shake that we're going to sell, you know, the product made with the real natural non-processed sugar, meaning cane sugar. And we think you're going to see other entities follow boot. And, you know, so you'll see that. And I think that will lift up, you know, a number of different products that where we'll start looking at using less refined products, more natural products in all the foods that we consume. And I think that is the bigger deal, is looking at a trend towards using these natural sugars instead of artificial sweeteners in many products.
But you know there are a lot of people that benefit from corn fructose, so I'm just wondering how they're going to react to the switch to cane sugar and how involved are they going to be with this?
Well, there's a pushback, as you know, from the national corn growers.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they'll have to find another avenue for some of that high fructose corn syrup. And I think they will. Now, we're going to have a record corn crop this year. Mm-hmm. And that's a big discussion about that overall in the United States, over 94 million acres of corn. There's a lot of other uses for corn. For instance, in making fuel, you know, biofuel ethanol, mm-hmm. the ethanol you put in your car, if you get, you know, the 10% ethanol mm-hmm. in your vehicle. Now we're looking at allowing up to 15% ethanol year round. And then also feeding more of that to livestock. You've seen the price of beef. And that's feeding more of the corn to livestock and then selling that meat product, you know, beef, pork, poultry, selling that abroad. So there are other avenues that we can find for corn, and we'll be working on that avenue as well.
They still have a problem with ethanol and pipeline where you can't ship in a pipeline very.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Far, do I remember that?
Yeah, it says a number of things will happen. With ethanol, it can, if it gets contact, you know, it pulls in water, mm-hmm. and then it breaks down, and it becomes a caustic substance. And that's what happens. That's why you, for many of your older pieces of equipment, you know, for us, the old farm tractors or mm-hmm. Many things, you have to use ethanol-free, especially like in marine products, because it can be somewhat caustic. And if your vehicle isn't made for ethanol, then it could damage the old carburetors, but also in contact with moisture, it can develop, can have an acidic layer that will literally eat the tank up. And so that's the issue with ethanol. That's why they can't, you know, they really don't like to ship it long ways in pipelines. And normally when the ethanol is added, it's called a splash blend. They add it as late in the process as they can and deliver it to the tank so that it can be utilized fairly quickly. It's not a product that you would want to, say, to put in your lawnmower and have your lawnmower set up for a while, because it can damage it. That's why we recommend in many of those types of machines ethanol-free gasoline.
I splurge,
or if you do have it, you put a stabilizer in there.
I splurge with the car. I get ethanol-free gas a little bit more, but I go with it. Somebody texted in. This is not a bad question, Mike, about beef. If beef prices are so high because we're running low in this country, why are we exporting it?
Well, if you look at what the deal is with the United Kingdom, we will buy beef from them and export beef back to them. So it's a two-way trip. So overall, when you look at the beef market, there's always, you know, a two-way trade. And so we really limit the amount of beef that we import, and a lot of that is due to disease concerns. Our export market has been a solid part that when the beef prices fluctuate, especially if they fluctuate down, then we do have another avenue, you know, again, for trade to sell that. And so, you know, we've been exporting beef to a lot of countries, especially smaller countries, for a long, long time. And here in the United States, you know, when you look at beef, you have to eat the entire animal. So there may be parts of that, you know, particular, you know, steer, you know, that animal that we do not consume much here, and you have to sell that abroad. So, you know, when you slaughter an animal, it's not all, you know, steaks. There are many other parts of that that have higher value than just ground meat, and you have to find a market for that. So a lot of it is selective markets, and especially when you're talking about the large scale, the big entities, the multinational corporations involved in the beef industry.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good trip, and top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you, and if I see the blowing stone, I'll kiss it for you.
You're going to have to get upside down and do it, just so you know, but do it. It's a tourist thing. Everybody does it. You have to climb at the top of a castle to get upside down and kiss it. Thank you, Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 654, 5 till 6 till 7. Traffic now, WWO.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.